podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast, and joining me today are some absolute titans of the Manchester... You know what? Not even the Manchester United fan base, the football fan base. Yeah, we're bigger than just Manchester United. We've got Mr. Dave Pritt.
Hello.
Yeah, you're still bothering with United now? Or you just
I went to the Liverpool game, didn't I?
Oh, did you? Yeah, oh, it was a big game, so I'm going to bother turning up now. Yeah, you've gone from three games a week to one every month because you're busy with that Stretford Paddock FC.
Not even that.
Hey, which I don't want to get into after I've just witnessed a shirt signing.
A minute ago
in the office, but we'll get into that later. Also, my good friend Ronaldo Brown, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, how are you?
Yeah, I'm relying on you.
You forgot to speak then.
I'm doing great.
You've not spoken for a while and then... My lips just hella dry. I went like that and it felt like they were stuck together.
Me and you've been rapping for like last 10 minutes. You've been fine. And then when the cameras were rolling, you looked a little bit like you were... Are you okay?
Stage fright.
Yeah, no, stage fright. You passed all that. Get used to seeing me and Ronaldo on videos as well because Joe's away.
I was going to say, you know what?
Joe Smith's away.
I was actually going
to
say...
Get used to seeing Joe McGrath because he's going to be joining us as well.
Like no, this standing
is.
Cover.
Yeah, should we have a single on Joe?
Joe McGrath, in for Joe Smith for a couple of times during this... During his tenure, he's just getting away, isn't he? What's the crack here?
Do you know when you're sometimes having a chat? Like once my missus said to me, she said something to me, the next thing I know, we've got a cat. And she went, I told you about this, you agreed. Do you remember? Well, she's got a Fellaini tattoo. I remember, I told you I was doing that. And you agreed. Like, what? I don't remember that.
You know what it is? I think it's the one where she goes, do you know what, Jay? I might get a cat.
And then
you just like, next thing you know, you've got a cat. And they're like, I've told you.
I think that's what Joe did.
Joe went, do you know what? I'm probably going to go away for 5 weeks.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, bro, you should do that. And next thing you know, I'm getting a postcard. I'm like, whoa, where the fuck, where the hell is it? What's this? Well, don't worry. Do you know what? He's a dedicated guy. He's still going to be making appearances on the channel. I've spoken to him. So don't worry if you're going to miss him. But in the meantime, we've got the other sloppy
Joe. Do news out there, yeah?
Yeah, me. He's like me. Don't mess about. He said, I'm going to do some news over there. I was like, listen, if you want to, feel free. So you're going to be getting some news.
He's loving it. He's in Thailand, isn't he? He's loving it. He's going there for the food.
The weather and the culture.
And the people.
Yeah. And the people. Yeah, that's
they
it.
Make
yeah.
it.
Do you know what I mean? That's all you need to know.
Got to go for the people.
As you may have gathered, by the way, get involved in the chat and the comments and hit that like button as well, please, people. And if you're not doing already, can we move the needle a bit? Can we get to 740,000 subs? I want to get 750,000 by the end of the season. Yeah. But we can get to 740,000.
By the end of the video.
Yeah, we can get to 140,000 by the end of this video.
740,000, we can do that. All right, 740,000.
Let's smash it.
Yeah, let's do that then. How many is that? How many do we need?
Subscribe.
226, I think we need, if my maths is right. So yeah, what do you mean you might subscribe?
That was a joke.
Do you know what? I'm going to unsubscribe from Sloppy.
Don't do that. That's tight.
I would never do that to you. I mean, seriously, that'd be beyond the pale. And we're going to talk about Kobbie Mainoo because no one spoke about him for a while. This is why we've. This is just Kobbie Mainoo TV. I mean, I ain't going to lie to you. I think every video we've done for the past 3 days has just been about Kobbie Mainoo. Because
we should still be talking about Liverpool games. To be honest.
I know,
they've been getting so annoyed by that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love it.
I'm grateful. I'm proud. Sorry, Ronnie doing God's work, who keeps bringing it up on social media. We keep doing it on the fan channel as well. Keep reminding people. You know what I love as well? It was the last club game, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. That's why. This is a nice time to enjoy it, aren't we?
So when you go in, well, it's the last game United played was against Liverpool. We're beating 4-3 and knocked them out of the FA Cup and stopped all that talk of a quad. That's the last game we had.
And we've got them coming up soon, so we have to milk it.
I love the way as well, they're trying to make it out like the league game is the only one that matters. Like, they weren't bothered.
That is really weird. I have seen that. Yeah. They've made it seem like the FA Cup quarterfinal wasn't an important game.
Like, they weren't trying or something, or they don't care. And I was like, hang on a minute. You was banging on all about this quad leading up to it. How are you going to smash us? How are you going to do us and all this other stuff? And how are you going to win the FA Cup? Or at least do the treble.
It was Klopp's last game could be at Wembley lifting the FA Cup. And then it's like, we don't give a shit.
We don't care anyway. Well, why have you just spent the last 6 months telling us you did?
So, because their logic is obviously the 7-0 victory that they had that in the league that led to them winning absolutely fuck all and not doing anything and finishing outside the top four. meant more than being knocked out of the FA Cup quarterfinal.
You're right, because
that's how they've actually acted.
That 7-0, whilst it was minging from a fan point of view, and obviously
3 points.
It's 3 points, right? We still finished third. Didn't stop us finishing
third. They finished outside of top four.
They still finished outside of top four. Didn't help them get Champions League football. So it didn't do anything. Whereas, obviously, getting knocked out of the FA Cup has literally stopped them winning the FA Cup or doing the quad in Klopp's last season. So, for me, yeah, they can say what they want, but come on, man.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Because, like you say, if Klopp finishes by just having a Carabao Cup, you know, the great managers in the world, they finish high, top of the Premier League. Look at the way Sir Alex bowed out. And you know, hands around the gorgeous Premier League trophy. If it's just the Carabao Cup for Klopp, then yeah,
To be fair,
he did say in his interview when he's going out, he's run out of energy. So.
Oh, nice. See, there you go. So he's won that trophy. People in the chat in the comments, Phobos Taco Man says # butter him up. If you don't know what that is about one of the greatest puns in the history of Stretford Paddock. Santa Notch says # awesome hen. What's that?
What does that mean?
Oh, awesome, yeah, that hen. Was his other one. That was the other, but this is a puns that Ethan did.
Oh.
He did, what was it? Awesome. What was the reference?
Osserman.
So he did the pun, awesome hen. With a picture of a hen as well.
Ah, yeah.
Just to sort
he's
of.
He's clever, Ethan.
I don't like it.
I don't like that. I can say the clever side, but yeah, I don't like it.
He's clever.
But he's calling the Cobby one. Was Cobby Mainu might be signing a new deal or something, wasn't it? Yeah. And it was calling on the Cobby, butter him up. That was the pun.
that's bad.
That was, I prefer that one.
He did
that
the Ong one where he used the wrong picture of the Ong on purpose. And then we called him over to troll him and then he changed it. So it was obviously a thing. So he made me and Joe look stupid, which I'm not happy about. So
could it be Money Maneuver?
Money Maneuver, there you go. There's one for the file. Kyle Chester says, we have possibly our strongest academy in years and the youth reviews have dried up. Come on, Mr. Pritt, up your game. Yeah, Mr. Pritt, why isn't all youth review? I don't watch the youth games, come on.
It's because he got a knock on the door.
wow. Honestly, it's been, what is it? 7 minutes into the podcast. And Ronnie just accuses Dave Pritt of the worst thing imaginable. Oh my God. I can't believe what I'm hearing. He got a knock on the door. We can't get it
out. This one.
Listen, he didn't get a knock on the door, right? Let's just get this one.
It was more of a bang!
Stop it. Leave him alone.
We're seizing your electronic devices.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Right, can we just clarify? Dave did not get
this
knock on the door.
This is bad to
clarify.
Yeah? Yeah.
The reason we don't do the Academy review anymore, why, Dave, actually? Explain yourself. Come on.
Too busy with Paddock FC.
Jesus wept.
Hey. How much time does it take of your week, that Paddock FC? A lot.
Yeah. Probably I do it every day.
Every day? Really?
Very high pitch.
Every day.
He gets good, well rewarded for it though. Yeah. Steve's always dead grateful when he screams at him. Dave!
Hey, Dave's the glue in it. That's why you call him Dave Pritstick.
Yeah.
You made me laugh on the weekend as well when the guy went on the pitch and you just told him, everyone was silent. You just like, get off the fucking pitch. And that's the first time you ever hear him pipe up because obviously he's working alongside Steve and Steve's very.
Yeah, Taylor Brian Clough, innit? You're like the calm, sort of placid guy. Steve's more animated.
I was just got annoyed with him going on the pitch. He was a sub. He'd been subbed off, limped off.
He kept doing it as well.
Then our 18-year-old goalkeeper got what he needed to the head.
Yeah.
And he comes on the pitch, big bollocks. Oh, he's all that.
It's hilarious. Mate,
it's an adventure, isn't it, watching Paddock FC?
He used to be the compere.
The first game. I introduced the team for the very first game.
I thought Duckingfield was the first game.
The first home game at Arms.
Which was the first game?
Oh, excuse me. I did the first ever game. He can back off.
He did the first ever game.
What? I did Duckingfield. Duckingfield was the first ever game, mate.
Yeah, I did it in Duckingfield.
No.
You did it at Droylsden
with Casey Evans. You did it in Droylsden. You did the first home game.
Yeah, your goal game was shit, though, I heard.
That is the inaugural game. Yeah, I'm part of the history of Stretford Paddock.
So what did I do? The second game?
You did the second league game, our first ever home game.
We're arguing about this nonsense, about who did the first game for Paddock FC. Do you know what? You can have it. I don't care. Right, let's talk about Cobby Mayne.
Yeah, let's go.
Because this podcast has been massively derailed already with lots of nonsense. Cobby Mayne.
What is it, nonsense, then?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. It's over, cut it.
Can we get off this subject?
Ethan, cut it.
Yeah. Is it possible to end this podcast 8 minutes in? because we've already had three accusations that we don't need.
Sorry, sorry.
Yeah. Can we just stop it?
Maynard's good, isn't he?
Yeah. It's bad enough that everyone thinks he's racist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not even...
Maynard's great.
No, I'm not even going to ask.
Right, he's not. Right. He's not racist.
Maynard's great. Whoa.
Dave, I don't know why you come on this pod. It's just...
Dave, you've watched a lot of Cobby Maynard back when you used to bother with the academy. Right, this is Dave, talk about Cobby Maynard. That's all I'm going to say. How good is it?
Yeah, don't do that. How good is he? We did
that. You've been watching him since he was like coming through the academy and all that stuff.
Since
yeah.
he was down here.
Oh, shut up. Now you're making it see that. Right, me and Dave. Now Ronnie's gone. This is chaos. Bring back Joel Smith, man. Jesus Christ, I can't quote. Right. You can't say anything about it sounding wrong.
Hold on. Oh, it's a.
Me and you did a podcast about Cobby Maynard about a year ago, or about 8 months ago. You compared him to a few other players and people were gunning for you and saying you're getting carried away and all the rest of it. Mm. But who did you compare him to and why, and do you feel justified? There you go.
I think in the end I was pressurised into comparing to someone.
What do you mean you were pressurised? Oh, like, considering it's only me and you on that video. So you're just saying I pressured you into saying things
gave
you
him his,
say.
Gave him his big break.
Listen to me.
I was pressurised.
Have you flipped this around? So I'm the one putting the pressure on people. Right.
But I didn't want to really compare him to anyone, but I said if I had to, it'd be a less aggressive Roy Keane.
Right,
and a lot of people give me a lot of shit for it, but now people are actually saying it.
To be fair, he was ahead of the curve. I will say that, Dave, with Maynard, because I remember when Garnacho was getting all the accolades, when he was seen as a bit of the superstar in the Youth Cup run. He constantly did say, I know it was no slander towards Garnacho, but Dave was constantly saying to me, the Kobe Maynard kid, he's better.
Yeah.
You basically said he was the best.
I thought Garnacho was great. Obviously, he was scoring all the goals, but Maynard was the best player on the pitch by far.
And was he's a little bit younger than his peers, wasn't he?
I think he was 16 during the Youth Cup run, but I think he got to 17.
He was, because when I was looking at it, I think he turned 17 in the April and the game was in the May or whatever, or the June.
Something like that, yeah.
So he just turned 17, where a lot of them, Garnacho and I think McNeil, maybe Hugill and them lot.
Yeah, I think Garnacho was, I think he was 17, maybe turned 18. Ah, so right, I think it's a year difference,
Right, but Cobby Maynard's always been sort of a little bit ahead of it. I mean, in terms of his age, he was in the academy team very young. The trouble you've got, right, when you've got a player like Maynard, I think in the academy, is sometimes when you don't watch the academy week in, week out, like you do, obviously, or you did certainly at that time, and you, from the outside looking in, I was hearing like loads of good things about Zidane. I was hearing loads of good things about Charlie Savage. Then you watch him in pre-season, you think, well, these guys are mint. Like, surely they deserve a chance. And then when the squads were getting announced, they weren't in the squads, and Maynard was, and everyone's a bit like, oh, what's going on here? Like, how come, like, we saw Zidane and Charlie Savage in pre-season playing against Liverpool, playing against Crystal Palace, I think, and Villa, good teams, like, obviously it's friendlies, but still. And yet Maynard's in, and then once you see him, like, that pre-season game against Arsenal, I mean, you realise that, actually...
I think the thing was with him, like all the others, like, They were good players, but they looked young players. Where he always looked like he was, could have been a 25-year-old playing in that youth team because he was just so composed with everything he did. I just think that's what made the massive difference, and I think for me that's what made him stand out.
Yeah. What have you made of him, Ronnie? Because obviously, he's not just come into the team. It now feels like we're almost reliant on him. Like when he's not around, it's like, oh my God, man, he's not there.
I think that's partly what's even the most impressive part. It's the fact that usually when you've got an academy prospect or someone that's around the ages of 17, 18 coming into first team football, especially at Premier League caliber of football, you kind of want the environment to be quite stable and the team to be performing in a way where they can be eased in and almost grow into it and be helped. Whereas Maynard's basically been thrown into like a fire pit that of a team that was underperforming, desperately needed a profile of his ilk, has struggling with ball progression, was basically trying to spend 50, 60 million every season, the past couple of seasons, on a midfielder, missed out on De Jong. And he's coming and he's not even just been a bit part player and a bit of a fresh, like a breath of fresh air. He's almost become undroppable in a way as an 18-year-old, and he's provided and added an element that was desperately missing in the middle of the park. And I think it's the fact that he's just looked so unfazed by it all. He's looked composed, he's looked comfortable. He's never looked overawed, and the consistency he showed for someone that young is also very impressive. And I think, honestly, the sky's the limit. And sometimes you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves and too hyped. But the fact is, we've got a huge sample size now. And if anything, his character and his personality that he's shown probably bodes well for his progression, and that he'll constantly get better.
Yeah. These little things, like, for me as well, Joe, like Ronnie was saying there, like, you know, his character. You see him, you know, when we've had young players come into the team before, like Marcus Rashford came in at 18, scoring loads of goals, Mason Greenwood, similar thing, even Garnacho to a less degree. You see him and they look like mint on the pitch, whatever, but off the pitch they're a bit quiet, or they do an interview, you can see they're still young. Yeah. With him, I've seen him being interviewed on Sky, and he's just like, even the way he carries himself and talks, it's like he's just a seasoned pro.
Yeah, this level of maturity, like he was always ready to step up. I think what was interesting, because we talked about Garnacho and Maino together, is that Garnacho sort of had to be sort of eased into the squad a little bit. Like, I remember not at the start of the season, the end of last season, if you started Garnacho, he could look a bit lost in games. He was really good coming off the bench and then just using his raw talent there to sort of scare defenders in that final third of the game. And it's took him a while, Garnacho, to be able to get on the team sheet and look really comfortable from minute one. And I think he's there now. Whereas Maidu, you literally threw him on and he was fucking, he was ready.
Yeah.
Straight away. There was no embedding in. He was like, I can take this game. I'll read it straight away. I'll understand my role and I'll go with it. To the point where we've signed, obviously, in the past, and they're still in there now, world-class midfielders. And you look at, obviously, Casemiro, and you look at Mason Mount coming back in, and he stands, really, as your first name on that team sheet. And that's some doing that in the space of, you know, only a season. I think when you write the midfield, he's there straight away.
It's not even a season, though. It kind of annoyed me what Southgate said before he put him into the squad, where he said he's only played a handful of games. I think at the time he played over 20 games for United. And that's even with after the pre-season and being out with injured for, what was it, three months?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I remember being in New York. Do you remember watching the game in when we were, what was that, kind of New Jersey way? Do you remember it?
And yeah, I was
played against Arsenal.
Against Arsenal, yeah, because I was sat, what, 10 seats to the left, and you and McCullough were there having the time of your lives together.
Yeah, we loved it. Frozen margaritas.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was the one who stood out there, and then obviously there's the unfortunate injury. But as soon as he gets back into the team, he's just...
It didn't even take him that long to get going again. That's what I thought was brilliant. He was usually, like a young player who's injured, takes like 5 games or so, get 10 minutes hurt, but he was just straight back in.
Does he get better at then? What for you is his weaknesses?
I'm going to defer to you. You're the expert on this kind of thing.
I'm not an expert. Kind
of, you know what? Better than I think anyone around his table.
I think he is very well-rounded. I think what he can improve on is just... like a little bit of increased defensive awareness, maybe. I think some people have maybe pointed at that. He's not exactly the quickest, but I think he's quick enough. So maybe his recovery pace, I don't know if he can get that into his game, or whether sometimes speed is something hard to kind of get quicker by the time that you're his age. I think you kind of are what you are. You can probably add a little bit of a percentage, but other than that, I reckon I can see him adding assists and goals to his game, because I personally believe, even though he's shown the potential and the ability to be like a first phase player playing in a six because of his ability on the ball and his composure, I think he's got too much quality as he showed against Liverpool, and even when he did that turn against Brazil, I think he could be well utilised further forward. I think as a box-to-box eight, someone that can get a goal and assist, as you've seen that he's capable of, but also able to do the other side of the game rather than just being a six.
I'd like to see him.
There's one thing, I can't remember who it was against, where he played a... amazing through ball, like quite far to Garnacho, and I think Garnacho missed it up at the end. Can't remember who it was against.
I think that might have been Liverpool.
It could have been
at home.
I think if that went in, I think he'd have tried that more often. But because nothing came of it, I don't think he has. But he's, you know, he's the range of passing he can do like that and just split the defence in half. If he does that more often, I think he's going to be world class.
This is what Gareth Southgate said after the game, by the way, and I will get to that in a minute, Eve. Leave it with me. You saw a couple of turns and a couple of really composed moments. That is a bit of an indication of what he might become. I mean, the thing there as well is sometimes it's when you're watching it, it's easy to forget he's only played a couple of dozen games for United, because he's so good, because he's so composed, because he's so mature, and because he's so confident.
That's what a lot of rival fans are criticised, because he's only played a couple of dozen games.
That's
he's already got
stupid.
Do you know what I mean? But it's the fact that he actually came onto the pitch and showed glimpses and flashes of why he actually fully belongs there.
Yeah, he looked the business. And also,
the people that were playing in front of him, the likes of Gallagher, etc. Oh,
did you watch England?
I hated it.
If they can play and start for England, why are people more worried about Maynard coming on and doing more in 5 minutes than him?
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
I'm not like,
I get he was a friendly, but he was
like, I thought Gallagher, Chilwell, even I thought Gordon was okay.
Playing again, it was basically Brazil/B/C team as well.
Yeah, it was like there was some first teams, not the full strength team, and also like obviously, you know, you had the likes of Vinicius Junior, but like Casemiro plays every game for Brazil. You weren't there,
Neymar.
Do you think
I'm forgetting him.
There's quite a few. I saw the list. It was quite. I can't think of where, but there was quite a few players there.
But he did when he came on. He just looked assured. I thought Gallagher didn't really have a very good game.
Yeah, well, the way he came on, do you think he'll get a start off
against Belgium?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, because I feel like Southgate a little bit. Part of me feels like Southgate almost felt like he had to like give him some minutes because of the press, everyone speaking about it, everyone raving about him, and he's probably seen him in training or something, see how good he is, and then thinking I can't just ignore him, give him 15 minutes. It felt like it was almost like the bare minimum he had to do, just give him 15 minutes.
And also to get his allegiance to England like boxed off. There's a lot of that with debuts as well. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you need five altogether before
do
you switch.
But I think if he's playing for England,
can he?
Yeah,
I'm not.
Zaha did it, didn't he?
I'm not sure about the Southgate love affair anyway, because there's a lot of people that have jumped to his defence when, with the England team that he's had, a lot of the games he's won, even in his win percentages and stuff, against teams that he should be winning against.
Even the cup runs.
If you look at the cup runs that England have had, it's against weaker opposition, and I think I see the stat somewhere that he's had 25 matches.
Yeah,
against. Teams in the top 10
in the FIFA rankings. Lost a lot.
And he's only won four of them.
It's crazy. I mean, look at the way we went out of the World Cup against France. It's like, Southgate, tricky side.
Well, that was the first time we had anyone half decent.
Southgate's England against good sides, as in top 10 national sides, the record is abysmal. But because England are quite often playing against subpar teams, and that's whether it's in friendlies or in cup competitions and cup runs,
do you rate Southgate as an England manager?
No.
Right, that's fair enough for you.
No.
You watched, is it Steve Cooper?
I still do. Listen, shut up.
Mate, that was a great clip, that as well. Do you remember Steve?
There was a time, right? There was a time for about 3 or 4 months, it looked like actually not that crazy. Because Steve Cooper started doing bits at Forest, a bit more.
It's not his fault, Southgate. He's got a terrible mind, he keeps finding players that he don't want.
He's managed Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly, so you know how good he is.
Exactly.
You rate him though, don't you?
Nah, he's a good gaffer.
Yeah. What about you, do you rate Gareth Southgate?
I don't really. I mean, some people praise his man management skills in a way, and I think that he can obviously get a team ready for a sort of a big occasion, but then when it really comes up against good opposition, it crumbles.
Do you know what?
He has to win the Euros this summer because he's got the best squad.
Do you think?
Unbelievable.
You know what?
There's France, isn't there?
I'll push back on that. You know why I push back on this? I think there's two reasons why England fail, like especially in this instance. Southgate isn't the greatest manager either, but I also think that it could be controversial, but I think a lot of people, and I think most people, actually overrate a lot of the England players.
Okay.
I think...
You've been told.
Do you know what I mean? No, honest to God.
Harry Kane's currently sitting top.
Let him finish and then you can come back in.
Let me land.
What's the name on Fiona Bruce?
Yeah, well, let me land. I think...
It's question time.
England do have a few world-class players, right? Yeah. But so do every single top side within, obviously, the FIFA rankings.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the players that are below that are a little bit overrated because you see them week in, week out. And the thing is, because I will watch England against play against friendlies against other teams, and I'll look at 3, 4, or 5 of them, the players on the opposition team, and they look technically better, tactically better than the players in England squad, and then I feel like I don't see the gap in games when I'm watching England field their first 11 against a lot of the other teams that we might believe there is. So I just kind of think there's a bit of Southgate's probably underachieved slightly with the team and the talent, but I also think fans, especially Premier League fans, have overrated some of the England players as well.
Both those things can be true though. Mm. Like they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah. You can think Southgate's underachieved, but also that some of the players he's got are slightly overrated, or the team in general is slightly overrated.
I think it's easy because you're watching week in, week out, and they play in the Premier League that you don't see in other leagues and other teams that kind of accumulate over national sides. You think that certain players are probably a little bit better than they are when they're actually compared or playing alongside the world greats, which is national football, which is the best players for each nation.
Rory Jennings, who obviously does the club with Macca, I absolutely love Rory. He tweeted after the game, this is more like a sort of a reasoned sort of analysis of Southgate and his tenure.
Oh, he hates him.
This is basically at full time. The man is a wimp in the job because he will dance to any tune the FA demand and say verbatim what the sponsors want to hear. It's not about football with him. If it was, he'd be lucky to manage Boreham Wood. A gutless man and a useless manager should be sacked tonight. And there's more. There's another tweet.
Tonight.
Sack it, I love that. It's a disgrace that Southgate is in charge of this team. The man is a loser and a coward, and it's a pitiful indictment on RFA that they are prepared to sacrifice this amazing collection of players to make sure that they have a spineless company man in charge.
Wow.
So Rory's not holding back there, but to be fair, he's been consistent, Rory.
Can I one last follow-on point is, my point is, if you put England's first 11 alongside the rest of the top eight nations, and you did a combined 11 with each side, there won't be as many English players that make the combined 11.
Surely there will be.
No, I swear they wouldn't.
How many do you think?
Because like, say you do like Foden,
Stones, Walker.
You're just naming players that you think are good, but when you compare them to like France, if you put France's 11 next to England's 11, if you put Portugal's 11 next to England's 11, etc.
I don't think you'd have as many England players in there. Like, I think Kane you could have, but then would you have Foden on the left or Mbappe? Would you have...
It's stuff like... Exactly yeah, my, my point. Like, or would you be like...
So he would play up top then?
Do you know what I mean? No, like, you might...
Who's
Harry
the best striker in Europe?
You probably like... No, Harry Kane is probably the one as an out-and-out striker where you go, that's a given. But then when you scratch beneath the surface, it's like, okay, you know, every national team, some of the best national teams, have got at least two or three world-class players. So I get your point.
That's exactly
like,
it. I think it's not...
My issue is Southgate
clear cut with it. England. England's miles better than
everyone. If you break it down,
so.
Tournament into through to tournament, right? Like the 2018 World Cup, a relatively easy run. Yeah, Colombia really missing James Rodriguez, beating them on penalties. Sweden in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
You get against the Croatia team that are beatable. You lose the Euros. The Germany team weren't great. Other than that, it was a relatively easy run. I felt Denmark missing Eriksen. You get against Italy in the final. You lose. The World Cup just gone. Again, a relatively easy group. Like let's be honest, Iran, Wales, USA.
Then you've got Senegal
who had players missing. Then you get against France. And France are a good team. I'm not saying they're not, but you fail.
Yeah, you fail.
So the big tests, the ones that where
he's
if you
failed.
Win that, you can go.
But,
he's a great
guy. That's the thing,
though. Manager,
he's had easy runs until he's got someone out. Look at the Nations League when he actually had to come across multiple decent teams.
Sorry.
Yeah, because
he failed massively.
Because I think
he got relegated.
I will get to some comments because everyone's got an opinion on this, and we're going to talk a little bit about England, and also we're going to talk as well about this Premier League Hall of Fame. And Ronnie's been doing God's work on Twitter, just agitating everyone.
I was about to put Kobe Mania in it, but I thought.
Do you know what? I wish you had. But first of all, right? It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's the most revolutionary ball trimmer the world has ever seen. This is like the reinvention or the invention even of the wheel, the discovery of fire. This is the biggest leap forward in technology we have ever seen, certainly in below-the-waist grooming technology, because Manscapes are here, with the Ultra 5.0. Now, I know what you're thinking, bro, you can't top the 4.0. The 4.0 was the pinnacle. It was the zenith.
Yeah,
it was the top.
Yeah.
It was the best you could get. Well, Manscaped dare to dream. And not only do they dare to dream, they fulfill those dreams as well, because they have come out with the Performance Package 5.0. You've got the Ultra 5.0, the lawnmower with the LED spotlight, the multifunctional on-off button, all that good stuff. Yeah, we need all that. And I know what you're thinking. I don't like change. I don't want the things that I used to love going. Well, don't worry, they're still here. You've still got the crop preserver. You've still got the crop toner. You've still got the boxer briefs with the shed travel bag to put all that in. You've got the weed whacker, the ear and nose hair trimmer as well. You've got all that good stuff. Plus, you've got 20% off and free shipping using the code DEVILS20. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's not. So not only can you take part in the biggest sort of revolution you have ever seen in below-the-waist grooming technology, you can also have the things that you love and know and that you've come to consider part of the family, yeah?
Lovely.
So check out the link in the description. Use the code DEVILS20, 20% off and free shipping. Go and check out the Performance Package 5.0. Your balls will thank you. And a big thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring this podcast. I want to get into some comments, and then we'll go into Ronnie rattling people.
Your lawnmower, do you do your front and your back garden?
Yeah, I do everything, mate. Wow. It's tailor made for down
front
there,
back
man.
Garden?
Do you know what I mean? Don't worry about that.
Barely do the front.
Yeah. There you go. Fantastic. Right. Nomad Joe says, we really need an in-studio demonstration. No, Nomad Joe, we really don't. Ross Murphy says, your balls will thank you. Yes. Right. Did I ask you about Southgate? Did I get your opinion? I don't think I did.
No, listen, all I would say is, I don't like Southgate. I like the group of players. And I think that a decent manager would find a way to win a trophy using the spine of Kane, Foden and Bellingham. And even to the extent, look, John Stones is a phenomenal player. I know we've not got a great keeper, but I think a decent manager with a good attacking mind can win with that group of players. He's just not it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the France game when we got knocked out of the World Cup by France. And you look at the France team there. You've got Mbappe, you've got Griezmann, you've got Ousmane Dembele, you've got Upamecano, Varane, Tchouameni. I mean, on the bench for France, you've got Camavinga. You've got Kingsley Coman, who obviously came up. You've got Kanate. Like, there's some good players there. You look at England. I'm not disputing. I'm just saying. I'm pointing out the fact. You look at the England team. You've got Jordan Henderson. You've got Bukayo Saka. You've got Phil Foden. You've got Luke Shaw, Maguire. There's some good players there.
And that was a France team that didn't allow Fingy to play in it. They had a couple of issues with the likes of Benzema and Kanté.
Benzema had an issue. I think Pogba obviously had. Pogba. You know, he was pretty much a tournament too far for him. Not in terms of his ability, but obviously a lot of stuff that was going on. So I think sometimes it's paper-thin margins, but this is why you need a great coach, because a great coach will get you over those paper-thin margins to be the better team, especially when you look at the Croatia game and the Italy game. We took the lead. The games were there. That Italy game at Wembley, bro, we went 1-0 up.
You know what's mad?
I say we, because I support England, not as much as I support United, but I do. Like, we 1-0 up, and we could have...
Can I see this, Joe? How many England players do you reckon start for Portugal in the strongest 11?
What, in a starting 11?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
You
reckon?
Yeah. What do you reckon? Come on, like, to be fair, I mean...
Portugal start, right, all right. I don't see anyone beating...
In their strongest 11.
I don't see anyone in their... Not of all time.
I think you did a combined 11 of current Portugal and current England, it would be very 50-50 at least.
Okay. Yeah, maybe
you've got in Portugal, to be fair, you've got the likes of Bernardo Silva, you've got Bruno Fernandes, you've got Diaz.
Rafael Leão.
Yeah, there's some players there.
Poligno.
Yeah, there's some players. Like, I get your point. But that's strong. Why I think with a manager, you have a manager who can do that. And I think Gareth Southgate, he's very much like, he'll beat the ones that you expect him to beat, which isn't a given, because I've seen England fail to qualify for tournaments and stuff when they've had good players at disposal. But I don't think he's the guy to get you over the line. Anyway, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be the manager
I wonder what the comments think about that. Like, when you think Portugal and England, how many England players start?
You're saying it's like 50-50.
Start for Portugal.
Even though Portugal have won some internationally,
France have won it. France have got all of them in that World Cup.
There is a team there to win some.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think there's a team down on some of the because we don't like City. Someone who plays the English squad,
the problem is as
well? Champions League.
No, I hear that. Do you know what the problem is?
Kane went to another league. He's now top of the league.
I hear all that.
And like, I feel like
we're still trying to get the best out of Phil Foden. Who are the top three players
in the City's treble team?
The top three players, obviously, Haaland's number one.
Yeah.
I think you do look at what the defence did for City. So either Stones or Walker.
Yeah, and then... De Bruyne.
So Foden, yeah, but Foden,
And then Rodri. And then Rodri as well.
Foden's still out.
So you're telling me.
Well, that's the problem.
I'm not hitting. You basically said using Foden's prompt as he's just been involved in winning the treble. True. Do you know what I mean? But then again, I'm saying it's arguable whether he was a top five player for the team when that won the treble.
But he's very world class for them, right?
I don't think we've got the best out of Foden for England. I don't. In the Euros, that was meant to be his tournament. It didn't really do much.
No, he did do much.
In the World Cup, he didn't really do much. I'm not saying he's not a good player, because he is. He's mint, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I watch him for City, and I see him tearing teams apart. I watch him for England, and he doesn't do a lot. And I think he does have some games where he does, but I feel like it's a problem Southgate's not fixed. You should be able to get more out of him. For me.
Exactly.
He's playing him on the right, didn't he, the other night? Yeah. He's playing him down the middle. He's playing him on the left. It's like he's still trying to work out. Sort of Bellingham, he's sort of... He's worked out because Bellingham's just Bellingham, innit? But it's like with Foden, he's like, what do I do with him? How do I get the best out of him? Why is Foden not getting more of the ball?
My only point is a good manager, better than Southgate, would get something out of these players.
He would.
Yeah. Who do you think starts?
Some people say don't care about England, right? I get it, don't care about England, but it's, I understand that's true. Other people say, why are you so hard for Foden? A name I can't really read out, P3QU3TON. Foden is above average, nowhere near your Bales, Neymars or your Hazards. I love people pluralising names as well. Right, anyway, let's talk about England, right? The Premier League Hall of Fame is out, like just the nominees, because Ashley Cole has been inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is a load of rubbish anyway,
Ashley
by
Cole,
the way.
Yeah, I didn't speak this.
Yeah, he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying necessarily he doesn't deserve it, but Ashley Cole. I do feel like, come on.
Yeah.
Nothing. He's not saying anything. And if it's certainly not on this podcast.
Dave has a conspiracy.
Yeah, I know. He's not going to share it. Right. You know, we don't encourage him. We do not have the legal team. Right.
Who is our legal team, Ethan?
It's Steve with Google. Steve and McCullough.
Good luck with that.
McCullough did law at uni. These are the conversations we've had as well. Don't think I'm messing about. Oh, right, so Ronaldo Brown tweeted earlier on today at 6 minutes past two. Best Premier League 11 of all time, playing a 4-3-3 formation. Yeah, everyone's doing this because of the Hall of Fame stuff. So Roddy's got involved. And he said, in goal, Schmeichel. We'll have words about that later on. Right back, Walker. Centre back, Van Dijk. Centre back, Ferdinand. Left back, Ashley Cole. Central midfield, De Bruyne. Then this is the only thing I'm going to pull you on. You've got Roy Keane or Vieira. And then you've got Scholes. Left wing, you've got Henry. Right wing, you've got Mo Salah. And striker, you've got Wayne Rooney. Now, obviously, you've also got someone I've blocked replying to. I don't know who that is. Like, people questioning it. People saying, like, Stams should be in there. Ronnie should be in there. Obviously, Ronaldo.
Obviously, people forgetting I'm not the oldest. Like, I'm going off
how old
for what I've seen. 25.
Right, good.
25. So, the likes of Stam, even Ferdinand, I only saw, like, the only like one or two good years.
I don't think you could comment on Dennis Irwin, could you?
Never seen Dennis Irwin, never seen Stam.
Yeah. Which I get, when someone does something like this, right, and when you've done that, I don't blame you for the players you picked. If you don't agree with me,
I put Schmeichel in.
20 years younger than me.
Because I was going to go Schmeichel or Cech, but then I thought.
Cech was good, you know.
I thought Schmeichel. I was even going to put Van der Sar because I was back. Because Van der Sar is my most obviously visualised United keeper. But then when I looked in, when I got to the, obviously I got a lot of criticism for the Van Dijk one because he's only won one Premier League title, but I'm just talking off eye test wise from what I've seen.
Because
a lot of the likes of Tony Adams, Stam, obviously I've seen Vidic is a shout, Tony Adams, from what I've seen in the modern day era of my eyes, isn't it? Outside of the fact that Van Dijk hasn't got obviously the winnings and the titles, I think, obviously, him being a Liverpool player does hurt.
I think, but visually, I do
really rate him. And I think.
Do you know what I think as well? I have a theory, right? I think defenders now have got it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Like, that's because of the free kicks, VAR, and all that.
It's not even that. I think
it's easier in some ways, but I think it's harder in some ways.
I think
centre halves now, with the high lines and stuff,
is much harder.
I think they've got to do more. Like 1v1 defending in larger spaces.
I think
centre halves.
This is right. This is what triggered you. Say triggered because it sounds wrong. This is what made you motivated you. I think there's this Twitter account. I'm not going to name it, but it's a Liverpool account. So he's done best Premier League, or they've done best Premier League 11 of all time. 4-3-3, the same formation you chose.
Hell.
That's who I quoted.
Yeah. So this says goalkeeper is Alisson Becker. Right back is Trent Alexander-Arnold. Centre back is John Stones. The other centre back is Virgil van Dijk. Left back is Andrew Robertson. Central midfield, De Bruyne, Vieira, Gerrard. And the front three of Ronaldo, Salah, and Rooney. So they've got 6 Liverpool players, including 5 of the current team.
Crazy.
Which is insane for me. Like, I don't know if they're trolling or
they must be trolling.
I got stick for doing the Salah one instead of Ronaldo, but which I do here because I think Ronaldo's peak, which is his Ballon d'Or season that he had 2008, was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you can't downplay what Salah's done in the last 5, 6, 7 years. That's the only problem. And I couldn't leave Henry out, obviously. And I was never leaving Rooney out of my.
Yeah, can I ask a question, Jay, about Shearer?
You can do whatever you want, son.
Because when did he stop? 2006, 2007? So I'm like 11. I'm like 11, 12 years old. So you know Shearer, he puts his hand up in the air and runs away. Would he be good in the modern? What kind of striker would he be? Would he replace like a Haaland, where he'd be bagging 50 goals a season? Might not be doing much, but obviously steps up, gets the goals, unbelievable. Or would he find it difficult now?
No,
how quick the game has gone a little bit.
I think the thing with someone like Alan Shearer, right, the reason Fergie wanted him, he was like an old school striker in many ways, but he was edging towards the more modern version of a striker that you see. So better with a ball at his feet, could get him behind and hold it up, could do like a bit of everything. Shearer was like that. If you look at him sort of his last season at Southampton and his first two seasons at Blackburn in particular, look at the goals he scored, the different types of goals he scored. Like 25 yards out, getting his head on things, obviously the traditional type of strike things, the more sort of extravagant type of goals. He had a little bit of everything. So I think a player like that would fit in any era. I do. I think it's like Eric. Eric was a player that you don't see many strikers like Eric Cantona. You can put Eric Cantona in the Premier League right now, and I'm telling you now, he's banging you every other week.
I don't like doing the whole, like, would he be good this era? Would he be good that? You know why? Because I think when you judge players, I think you just got to judge them relative to the era that they played in. In my opinion, because I think it's unfair when you start doing that. Because to be a transcendent player in the 90s, you might not have to have the same level of like physicality and abilities, maybe some parts of the modern game.
Yeah.
But I think even that, people argue that the game's become a lot more. You can get a lot further just off physicality. Anyway, but in my opinion, I think you judge them off the relative to their era, because for them to be dominant in that era, you've got to give them credit for, because some people do, in a modern game you wouldn't, but I feel like you can't do that when you're judging players.
You've got to give Shearer then the striking position in the all time, because in his era, he's the best striker there is.
Penalty merchant.
Andy Cole. I don't think Andy Cole should be in more conversations about. I think he's on the shortlist for the Hall of Fame, and I think he deserves to be on that. I don't know if he'll get the votes, but if you look at any metric you want to use, I think he won 5 titles. He scored 187 goals. Only one of them was a penalty. I know it's only Premier League
underrated
Hall of Fame. Massively underrated. And I think if you're looking on the whole as well, he won the Champions League. I know it's just the Premier League, but he won the Champions League. He won a treble. He won other trophies. He won. Went to Blackburn and won a trophy there, which wasn't easy, scoring in the final for them in the League Cup. Like, broke that record as well when he was at Newcastle, 34 goals in a season, none of them penalties. Wow. And even, like, we interviewed him and he pointed out, it's like, when Haaland broke those records, people said he's broke Shearer's record. Like, Andy Cole didn't have exactly the same amount of goals as Alan Shearer, without penalties as well, which Shearer hadn't done. It's like, he just gets forgotten.
He's not bitter about it.
No, but I think with Andy Cole, he's happy in himself. He's happy. He doesn't. Remember when that guy sent for him on Twitter and he said, like, oh, Darwin Nunes is like Andy Cole. He needs 5 chances to score a goal. And Cole, like, just replied, because we spoke to him about that, and he said his son pointed it out to him and he went, what's this nonsense? And then he just replied. But I think with Andy Cole, he doesn't get his credit he deserves. And I think a lot of it is people who haven't watched him maybe looking at some quotes like from Glenn Hoddle, oh, he needs 5 chances to score a goal. It's obviously nonsense, because he scored nearly 200 goals. So you tell him if he took all his chances, he'd have scored 1,000 goals. That's ridiculous. Just nonsense.
Plus, you see Shearer making a record.
If Andy Cole took all his chances, he would have scored 200 goals in a season. Shut up. That doesn't make any sense. So he just never quite gets the credit. And I think a lot of the times with things like the Hall of Fame, you have a certain fan base who will rally around players. So it's like when you've got 5 United players to rally around, it's a bit more difficult than if you've got 1 Liverpool player or 1 Chelsea player or 1 Newcastle player or whatever. I know Andy Cole played for Newcastle, but he's not, you know, he's a United legend rather than just the Newcastle one. So I feel like sometimes the whole Hall of Fame...
That argument's been on Twitter with the Ashley Cole one. Chelsea fans versus Arsenal fans trying to claim who's he the Hall of Famer for, really.
No, because like Arsenal are saying he won 2 titles with us, Chelsea saying... He won a lot more trophies with us in general.
Yeah, but it's the Premier League.
It's a Premier League.
Yeah, it's not an FA Cup.
But is it just on your trophies that you've won? Is it on your performances for them?
It's got to be on performances.
Performance, ability,
longevity. But that doesn't rule out when you have won a lot of trophies and you still should be considered there's a reason why people are winning trophies. Because they're fucking good.
I just feel that for me, Dennis Irwin's got to be in there.
Yeah, but we said this upstairs before. It's like, it used to be a discussion people forgot about before the Premier League.
Now
it's like people only remember half the Premier League. Yeah. The early days of the Premier League, no one remembers.
I think people like, and I get it, like someone like Ronnie's age ain't going to remember the 92-93 season because he wasn't alive. But like from 93 to almost 2003, almost, seems to be forgotten. Yeah. And it's like the Premier League starts on that Arsenal season where they drew 12 times until modern day. Like everyone else, like, Cantona to a certain degree, if it wasn't for the fact he's such a hero at United, I think he might get slightly overlooked. The likes of Andy Cole, a lot of his best work, like he's a director, his best games were during the early 90s. Dennis Irwin, Gary Pallister, players like that, who were dominant during that era, winning title after title, doubles and titles and back-to-back titles and three in a row, whatever, don't get the flowers that perhaps they deserve. I'm going to go through some comments and then I want your Wallies of the Week. So let me know. Jed91 says, Andy Cole's song, A Belter, with Ian Wright's tune. Jordan Simpson says, love Andy Cole. Andy Cole, what? Oh, mate, someone's talking nonsense there. Ridwan says, left Arsenal, won the Champions League, Premier League, Europa League with Chelsea. Arsenal ain't won none of them since. I thought he was actually talking about Andy Cole then. Andy Cole left Arsenal, didn't he? And just, like, he was a kid at Arsenal and then went and just smashed it everywhere else. Joe.
Wally.
Wally of the week. We've got a graphic,
a
I think,
for
that.
Kicking about. And it's about the, obviously, the England flag.
There you go.
And it's about the couple of MPs who, for this this week, who've never supported England in the football, decided to do face paints. And I can't remember the exact MP.
I retweeted this.
Face paint on his face, going supporting England. He's just doing it for a political thing because the flag changed. Fuck off. He's the Wally of the Week for me. What was his name?
I think I retweeted someone who
did make a little bit of a, the people just using that as a little gateway to get attention, wasn't it?
And I'm trying to. Oh, there it is.
There he is.
Right.
What's he called?
Matt Vickers.
Matt Vickers, you're my
right. So
week.
He's the MP for Stockton South, and he's the Conservatives' deputy chairman. And he's put, just a reminder for Nike about what the England flag looks like. Only one flag I'll be wearing for the Euros, and he's painted his face white and red.
And he's also wearing a shirt that doesn't have the England flag on it.
I mean, he just seems like a proper moron, to be honest with you. And, you know, maybe he wants to focus on actually sorting out things like child poverty and the austerity and the country going to hell in a handbasket.
Not to get political.
Not to get political, you know me. Maybe stood in his garden painting his face like an absolute specimen. Dave, who's your Wally of the Week?
I'm just going to give it Southgate because... Why not?
I love that. It's just Southgate, isn't it? Just because he got beat off Brazil. Got beat off Brazil. Game made his debut, but he got beat off Brazil, so it's Wally of the Week. Is that why you get, because he just did it off?
I don't think he should be there.
What? Fair enough. Who should be there?
We've got Wally of the Week for existing.
Yeah. Who should be there?
Who should be there?
Say it.
Come on.
Steve Cooper.
Yeah. Say the line.
Get the Welshman in. To be fair, I want Southgate to stay on at England if that keeps him away from the United job.
Yeah.
There's no way we're getting him.
Mate.
It's no way.
I hope you're right. I hope nothing stupid goes on.
Be fucking mutiny, I reckon.
Would they though?
Yeah.
For a bit, they would, and then people do, even I'm guilty of it, you get behind the manager eventually.
Well, honestly, if you come in, people go, get them Glazers back.
Omar Berada's the one making the decisions on that, apparently, rather than Jim Ratcliffe.
Omar Berada ain't going to get
I don't know if
Gareth Southgate.
Can
you imagine Gareth Southgate, Man City? No. Hey, can you imagine them? Here's who's replacing Pep. No. Gareth Southgate.
Could happen.
Man, I'd love that. Seriously. That'd be that and the 150 probably charges coming in would be the best day ever. So you're saying Gareth Southgate. Ronnie, who are you saying?
Probably just going to give it... that's Steve Laws.
Who?
Mr. Reformation guy. The one that... The one that did the tweet about the England players not visually looking like what he wants them to look like.
Yeah, this is right. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, I didn't know what you were on about here. Yeah, because this is was it Henry Winter or someone posted a picture of like the England players training?
It's
or just
crazy
like
a, that.
This is actually insane, right? And I don't know how you can be how your mind works to even think like this. So he did a little... Henry Winter, he's a friend of the channel. He's been on the Tier 1 podcast with me and Ronaldo Brown. Good guy. He did a tweet. I can't find it, but it was basically had like Kyle Walker. Oh, here you go. Found it. So much talent. England training, right? On the pitch,
he's had to tweet under it as well.
Yeah, so you've got Jude Bellingham, you've got Kyle Walker, you've got Marcus Rashford, and you've got Ivan Toney, right? Some absolute whopper, Ronnie's name, said like, basically how many of them are English or whatever, was questioning it because obviously the ethnic background. So Henry Winter's reply to his own tweet says, when I look at this picture, I see, from left, a coveted finisher, world's best right back, a mercurial attacker who fed hungry kids and top scorer in the Liga. I see elite English talent nurtured in Northampton, Sheffield, Manchester and Stourbridge. Sad to see racism in some replies. I mean, it's like that comedian, do you remember him? In fact, I'm going to make this a comedian Wally of the Week because I've not forgotten. Do you remember when we went out of the Euros? And it was that Andrew Lawrence, who's an absolute dickhead.
No,
and he was
no.
like, oh, all the black players missed or whatever. He tried to make it about race. It's like, just people need to get a life. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how you can, like, would you not cheer then if Rashford got the winner?
Yeah, wild.
Yeah, he wants, like, England to be, like, forward English and...
What's that mean?
I don't know what that means.
People's Irish history. Or
that was a joke people made because he's saying if you actually had you wanted a team how he'd want the English team to be, there'd be no players.
I'm gonna go out on a whim here and say Joe McGrath has some heritage that isn't English.
Because Declan Rice, Grealish, and Kane.
But they played for Ireland, didn't they?
Irish. Yeah.
Like they literally played for Ireland under 17s or whatever. So it's just so dumb. Anyway, that's enough from us. Big thank you to Manscaped sponsoring this podcast. Go and check out the Sloppy Joe's podcast.
Yes, do.
If you're going to check it out now as well, now's probably the best time when Joe Smith's away. Because, that's when
the real... Call you up,
that's what I'm saying. Well, I didn't want to hint, but you know what I mean? Sat here right next to you. Go and check out the Sloppy Joe's podcast. Make sure as well you're following Ronaldo Brown on the Bird... Well, it's not the Bird app anymore, is it, my brother? It's the X app. But he's always doing good stuff on there, arguing with people and giving it to scousers, which I want to say. Dave... Are you still allowed on the internet? You're allowed to
Dave, the date release. Jesus, so if you're lucky, book in your slot with him at Strangeways.
Dave, go and check out Dave Print. Dave, can we say it now? Can we get the Academy review back? People always ask me about it.
Can I?
A certain player's dad asked me about this. Has played for United. On the way to the game, and he said to me, Jay, when are you and Dave doing Academy
I've
review?
I've got to make sure we love Ronaldo's it. Got his cut socks in the right way.
Wow, okay, that's a full-time job. Hopefully we'll get Academy Review back. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.